anointed by the Lord. Now, our choices, as we all know, is what the thing that God's given us that we have free will, we can choose. And as a man, God set it up in Genesis in the Garden of Eden. He told Adam, he gave him the Garden of Eden, he let him name all the animals, he gave him a place to live. The garden was Adam's home, and his job was to rule. And I'm not going to get real deep into that, but that's where it all started. Therefore, God has set up everything and every provision that a man needs to be great in his kingdom. And all we have to do is choose. God gives us everything and already has given us everything we need, and I'm particularly aiming this at the men, but it's all for every born-again Christian. And we've heard before, God gives it. Yes, he's already given it, but we have to get it. And we have to receive it. That don't necessarily mean, because I've been as guilty as anybody, especially as a man, Lord, here I am, I receive it. No, there's got to be some actions to it. God's got to see your heart. When God sees your heart, then you've got to act on what's in your heart. You can say, this is in my heart. But your actions might not back up what's in your heart. Therefore, God's given you everything that we need. And it's time, this time, this day and age, God needs kingdom men more than ever. Your wife, men, your family needs kingdom men more than ever. I said it before, and I'm going to put it under this guideline. When a man gets messed up, he carries that messed up to his family. Family gets messed up, they carry that messed up to the church. Church gets messed up, they carry that to the area, the city, whatever. That goes to the nation, that goes to the world, that goes out into eternity. So it all starts with the man. God set it up that way in Genesis. That's his plan. Whenever it is carried out according to his will, it can't be beat. It can be fought against, but it cannot be beat. No weapons formed against you shall prosper. That's in his word. That don't, like Brother Scott, he teaches Sister Teresa, that don't mean it won't form. Let me ask you a question, man. Would you rather have something handed to you or work for it? Exactly right. Any mature man will say that. And why is that? Because he has already experienced in his life the things that he's worked for and achieved has value. Now, I'm not saying if somebody gives you something, it doesn't have value. I'm not saying that. But whenever you work for it, your heart's in it. Same thing in the kingdom. And I've had to learn this more than once the hard way. Now, I'm in a point in my life to where I start knocking things down that the devil throws at me, and he's not got any new games. He just goes about it a little different way. I want to point out something. The devil never comes at you, anybody that's born again, and a kingdom man, and wants you to bow down and follow him. He'll never say, bow down and follow me. He always comes at you in a disguise. Always. You know why? Because not only is God God, to a kingdom man, God should be Lord. That means he is the ruler. You follow him. You give him his honor and reverence and fear for being God, but you give him your honor and your obedience to follow him. He is God and he is Lord of your life. Satan wants to break that. If he can break that, he can get you on a step or me or any. He does it to the world real easy. He goes about it in disguise because we're not ignorant of his devices. And like I said a while ago, it all boils down to a choice. Proverbs, Travis, you put up Proverbs chapter 3, please. It tells us right here, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Can't say it, I'm sorry. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Do not so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now all of that boils down to a choice. If we choose, men, to follow this path and become a kingdom man, number one, you have to be born again. What does that mean? That means you have already accepted Jesus as your Savior. That means that you know that you are in the position of being under the dominion of the curse of sin, and all that your life that you have lived, your choices have not been for God. And therefore, you submit and you accept Jesus as your Savior, because you cannot be redeemed from the curse of sin any other way. We're taking it a step further after you're born again. Your choices. It's the ability God's given to each of us, and we make a decision regarding situations and actions before us. God has given us, especially the men, free will to make choices. He won't make them for us. He has them out there. If you notice in the Garden of Eden, when, of course, Eve ate the fruit first, disobeyed, and then Adam, where was God? He was there. It might not speak of God being right there in the text. He did not appear or come up and say, Adam, don't eat that. He had already said his word. Therefore, he expected Adam to obey. Now, Adam did not choose to obey God. All choices have consequences. Good choices bring good consequences. Bad choices bring bad ones. And for a kingdom man, a born-again man of God, you're destined to be great. God set it up that way in Genesis. He told Adam, he said, here's your house. Go forward. Take care of it. I'm paraphrasing. Multiply. This is my plan for you. Even after the disobedience, he still had this set up. He didn't back away from it. You know why? Because it's his covenant with Adam. That covenant still stands today. Each and every born-again man is destined to be great. I can give you an example. Sister Teresa's talked about it some. Women think about different things than men. Now, granted, a man can be selfish. If a man thinks about I, me, what I want all the time, like if I use myself for example, man, all I want is that guitar, all I want is that motorcycle part, all I want is that part for my truck. That's selfish. I'm not talking about that. It says in Proverbs, I forgot the scripture, and I've heard Brother Scotty preach it, a good man will leave his children's children an inheritance. That is a kingdom man. And I'm not talking about a house and land and money. If you can, you should, because it'll make things easier in this world for your children and children's children. But you also have a spiritual legacy to leave. Without that spiritual legacy, it's going to be hard to leave them, if you're a kingdom man, the other part. Because if they don't have the spiritual legacy to follow God and follow God's will, what have we heard? And I'll keep bringing it up because it was revelation to me. Faith starts where the will of God is known. If you don't teach your kids things like that, you're not leaving them the legacy of the Lord in their lives. And without that, they don't have a hope. That's the reason they will be misguided. Satan will disguise, will fool them, will trick them. I don't know of a person in their right mind that loves their children, that wants their children to die and go to hell. And you might say, well, Brother Monty, that's pretty stout right there. Well, that's God's word. I didn't say it. I'm just speaking it again. I'm speaking the truth of God's word. And it ain't God's fault. It's rightful judgment against mankind. But God give us a way to redeem. And the declaration of a kingdom man, the people that need to know it first is your wife and your kids. They don't only need to hear you say it, they need to hear you say preach it, they need to hear you teach it, they need you to do it, they need you to be faithful to it. Now, I don't only not only brought my wife and kids to church, whenever I first started looking for a church, I knew how to go about it because I had some experience. And notice I said experience, looking for God. Little did I know, all of that experience is what my father taught me. And even though I wasn't born again, I found the place God wants me to be. You know how I know? I got born again here. Now, that might not necessarily follow for everybody, but that's my path. My path, and every man's path in here, kingdom man, is not the same. It may be similar, it's not the same. God has a tailored and has already provided a plan for each and every born-again man in this house and everywhere else in the world. It is up to the man, number one, to seek it, to find it, receive it, to get it. If you don't do those things, it is not God's will for you to sit back and just coast. Even if you provide very well for your family and you work and you do everything that the world honors, you dishonor your family if you don't follow God's path for a kingdom man. And I'm not trying to be down on anybody. I'm just speaking truth. Because what happens when you're gone? Who tends the house when you're gone? When you die and go into eternity? I want each and every man to think about this. I've thought about it long and hard. You know why I thought about it? Because God changed my heart. I don't think too much about things I want materially anymore. I think about some things. I have a vision for our place and dreams and things I want to do. But deep down, the number one thing I want to do before I die from and go from this world and pass over into eternity to be the Lord is make sure my children know who God is. They're born again. If they're not born again, they better check. But they know. They were raised in church. They know what God's will is, and they need to know that they've got to find it, get it, receive it and put it in their life. That's my number one thing in here. It changed. It didn't used to be that way. And why did it change? Because I started seeking the Lord. Not. I don't want anybody to think I'm beating on my own horn here, tooting my own horn. But it's what God put in me because I asked the Lord, Lord, what I need to do now? I feel kind of, I didn't feel empty, but I felt, I'll use the term bored. I don't know of a better human word to use. I was born again. I loved coming to church. I loved seeing you guys and being here in services. But in my everyday life, I was kind of bored. Now, not with my wife and my kids. I love being around them. But spiritually, I was bored. The reason I was bored was because I was not taking the next step. I was not moving forward. When a kingdom man moves forward and he makes this choice, not only does he fulfill the will of the Lord in his life and set up his family and future generations, but you bring truth into your life. That means you made a choice that brings truth. Travis, will you put up the Psalms 119, 105, and 106, please? It says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it that I will keep thy righteous judgments. Whenever you start making forward steps in God's will as a man, leading your family, you always have to keep on the forefront, seeking God and staying in God's will. Now, does that mean that you don't have the ability to walk forward on your own? No, you have that ability. But I'm going to ask you a question. Would you rather walk with blindfold or walk when you can see? That's what men need. Without God's word, all a man is doing, born again, especially lost, is walking through the world with a blindfold on. How will you know what you need to watch out for, to get over that mountain, to get through that valley, to get through this hardship? Without God's word staying strong in your life, it's going to be really hard, if not impossible. And I'm speaking from experience. Because although Satan don't know our heart, he sees our actions. And we're taught something here that it was hard for me to learn because I was the type of person, I was raised, if it's on my mind, I need to speak it. That's the way I was raised. Because not in church, but in the world, you know, don't be one of these people that, you know, if you're going to talk about somebody, do it behind their back. You come out front and do it. Well, that's good in that sense. But you don't always need to speak everything that goes through up here. I didn't know that. I'm somewhat stubborn, for those that don't hang around me much. And I'm being real, real good to myself when I say somewhat stubborn. Because I used to have the mindset, if I can't believe it and it doesn't make sense to me, I'm not going to do it. Because I looked at it like, you know, maybe it's not good for me. But everything in God's Word is good for us. Okay, man. We all know, all of us that do this, you got people behind you that's looking at you. Your wife and your family. Sister Teresa's already told us, and I knew it a couple of 3 years ago. I asked April something, and she told me, if a woman does not feel secure in her life, she's going to be like this inside, spiritually. Now, that she may be seeking the Lord, she's born again, but she has got to come under the submission of a man, her husband, according to God's will. Y'all want to ride with somebody with blindfold on while they're driving? Neither does our wives. Now, our wives is on the same level with us as far as being grown, being mature, raising kids, handling finances, running the household, all that kind of stuff. They can see. In other words, whenever a man has made a bad decision, they might see that's a bad decision, Monty. And while they don't necessarily have to never say anything about it, if they don't do it the right way, then of course the devil's going to get in that and there's going to be friction. And the man says, what do you mean trying to say? You're supposed to submit to me. I'm doing what the Lord told me to do. Experience again, that's not always true. Men, whenever you make a decision, number one, always include confirmation from the Lord. I have learned the hard way. I get up every morning and I have this prayer the first thing. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Sometimes I don't want to say that because I know what I got to do during the day, and my body and my mind and my heart does not want to do it at work and other places. But I say, thank you, Lord, for this day. It's raining. I got to go to work. I spend about an hour, three or four different times at a time, an hour outside in the pouring rain. I got a raincoat, but it don't help a lot. But I say, Lord, thank you for this day. I will rejoice in it because you have made it. And then my second thing that I've learned to say is, Lord, help me to behave myself and walk and show myself to glorify you, not what I want. That's one of the hardest things in my life I've ever had to do. And why is that? Because sometimes I don't want to let go of what I want to do. Sometimes it's hard to do what God says to do because I'm hanging on too hard to what I want to do. I've got a wife that don't want me driving her through life blind. The kids are all right until they get up a little older and they can see things, you know, that wasn't very smart. Like, I'm going to tell them myself. I used to have this little thing I did whenever I was a younger guy, take a shotgun shell, take all the, they call it shot, all the beads and stuff out of it that will actually hurt you and kill you. What's left is what they call the wadding and the powder. There's a little piece in the end of it called a primer. I used to set it down and take a nail or a screw and hit it, and it would make a big sound, never did really hurt me. I usually used a nail. Well, when we lived out on Straight Mountain, I couldn't find a nail, so I was going to show the boys. Now, this is smart, ain't it? This little trick I know. I got a screw and hit that thing. You know what happened? That shotgun shell, the force of that powder, run that shotgun shell up that screw and peached my finger so bad it cut me pretty bad. First time it ever happened. I'm slinging blood. All three of them boys, to this day, when I say something about them being smart, they'll bring it up. Say, that's about as smart as a shotgun shell. I tell them, hush. Zach was helping me one time replace the door pins on a door of one of my truck. It's real hard to get to it, and I had to drive it in with a punch thing, and I had my finger in between where the punch and the door, and every time I'd hit that punch, it would hit my finger. after about the fourth time, Zach said, "Why don't you stop?" And my finger was swelled up, son. I said, "I got to get that in there." He said, "Well, wait till later or something." He was laughing. He said, "It don't make sense. Every time you swing that hammer, you say, 'Oh, why are you doing that?'" I said, "I'm hitting my finger." You know, and my point is, what I want to do all the time is not smart. If I don't seek God in everything I do every day, I might end up hurt. You know, I could. You know, or worse. But that shows you the wisdom of man compared to the wisdom of God. When you make the choice, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn I will perform it, that I will keep thy judgments, thy righteous judgments." Righteous means right. There ain't no discussion. It ain't halfway, it ain't kinda, it ain't somewhat. It is right. God's righteous judgments. That means God said this is, that is, and it is. There ain't no if, and, or buts about it. Whenever a man decides to do that, he'll start going forward. And what happens when you start going forward in God? Number one, the people that need to see it will realize it. It'll make your wife, I don't remember if it's Psalms 18 or 28, I'm not going to say that, but one of the Psalms, one of them two, describes a wife whenever she is in a godly situation with her husband, meaning the husband is being the kingdom man. It says she will flourish like a vine. What's a vine do? It grows and grows and grows and grows. If you nurture it and leave it alone, it's going to grow. It's just going to keep growing. Then it says, "Thy children shall be as olive trees." I didn't know it. I heard it said, so I went and checked it out. Today, there are olive trees in Israel that are over 2,000 years old. Do you know why? Because they've been taken care of. They've been nurtured. All the right decisions about their welfare has been made. So that means your wife's going to grow and your children's going to grow. And whenever they grow, they're going to do what you have taught them to do because God's going to put it in their heart. They won't be able to see another way. Whenever they get that in their heart, they're going to do like I did, because I cannot fathom thinking in my head what life is like without God in my life, without serving God. It's like there's no way I can do that. Now, I know I can make the choice and go in that direction, but it causes me so much pain on the inside, I don't even want to think about it. Number one is the folks that's behind me, watching me. Now, I'm not serving God to please them. I'm serving God to please God and for their benefit as well as my benefit. In other words, man, you got a very important job. If you're not married, young man, Brother Scotty preaches it, and I love him for it. You have got teaching here and God's word. If you don't follow it, now I'm not saying in the world you may be successful. They may be billionaires in our young men and women sitting here. Money does not make you successful. Now, as Brother Scotty says, yes, it makes life easier. But there's going to come a point in time in a man's life if he doesn't have, and a lot of people may disagree with me, but I just don't see it different. Now, you can survive without a family. You can be a man without a family, but you better learn how to stay close to the Lord. Apostle Paul did it. I'm sure there's other men did it. But a man is made to rule. A man can rule without a wife and family. That's true. He's got his space. A man also made to love. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not knocking anybody that's never been married, doesn't want to get married. That's your decision between you and the Lord. But I can only imagine what my life and how less it would be without my wife and kids. How would I fill up my life? Well, number one, I better learn to fill it up with the Lord, because there's going to be a whole lot more stuff out there to distract me. What am I going to do with my legacy? Number one, you better leave it for the Lord and the church, and you better work for that, because that's what a man's supposed to do. When you do all these things and you see the results of them, as I have in my life, I cannot imagine being anywhere in my life without the Lord. Now, as of right now, and God's not showing me any different, my life is right here. I thank God all four of the kids that I raised are in this church. Two of them are grown. I don't make them come to church. Zach and Destiny, I don't make them to come to church. I will help them and encourage them and push them some if I can. But I've got to be careful because they're old enough now to make their own choices. I want them to make choices because they want to. Parents that have children, when a child obeys you because they want to, is much, much, much more rewarding than you have to make them. Children, all of us are children, but underage children that's under authority of your parents, whenever you do that, you are performing God's will in your life, and God will set another stepping stone in front of you, goal to aim for and to work towards until you get to the age of accountability in the world and go out on your own. But since we're talking about men, if you don't make these choices, Travis, I forgot to give you this scripture. You turn, well, no, never mind. It's all through the chapter. Isaiah chapter 3. Men, read Isaiah chapter 3. It makes it clear what happens when the men don't choose correctly. When a man does not lead his family correctly, especially when the woman is a woman of God and she wants to live for God, she's got one choice, to go to the Lord. And there may be times when the Lord will tell her, maybe you should do this. Now, if it gets real bad and the family needs some leadership and the man won't step into the role, the wife has to. It's illegitimate. That's not what I mean by that. I'm not saying the wife is doing wrong. She's doing something she should not have to do. But she's doing it because she loves her children and her family. Now, I'm not a woman, but I would think according to the scripture that if a woman had to do that, she's praying the whole time, seeking God the whole time. The only other choice she's got is to follow the man. And if she sees the man going downhill, why does she want to, run into the ditch with him? Remember that, man. Another thing that I want to point out. When a king decides to become a kingdom man, and you say, okay, yeah, I want to do this, praise the Lord, and you get all fired up, boy, and I mean, you feel like Holy Spirit is shooting out your ears, and you could, sling fire at the devil, and you ain't got no problems. Okay, in about 3 weeks, 3 or 4 days, week, 3 weeks, and you don't feel all that fire, what do? You better find it. You better find that little soapbox that I stood up on and say, yeah, Lord, I'm going to be on fire for you. I'm going to, blah, blah. Because life's going to come at you, and Satan's going to say, oh, okay, so you want to be all that, huh? So I'm going to go over here. He's going to come over here and slingshot stuff at you. You better be ready for it. How do you be ready for it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, I know we use that scripture a whole lot in asking for things, maybe wanting things, but it applies to every area of our life. And it all starts with the man. Don't put it off. Don't let it be put off on your wife or your children. Because in the natural way of things, like in my family, I'm the oldest. I may pass on the way and go first. My wife's going to have her hand full with grief, I'm sure, for a while. Then she's got to learn to live life without me. She's got to have the Lord. And she's got to have some kind of pattern to look at. And I am the pattern. But I'm supposed to seek it from God and get it from God. Because if I leave a bad pattern, she's not got a good pattern to go after, except if she knows to seek the Lord and change it. If she looks to what I've done, then, and I'm doing bad or wrong, making bad decisions, not being a good leader, And don't get me wrong, even a very good leader can make mistakes. The way to know is God will let you know when you make a mistake, but always try to keep yourself in a position where you can talk to the Lord. God needs us, kingdom men. Our family needs us. If somewhere in your brain that you can't see doing it for God, do it for your family. God will honor that. Now, when I talked about a while ago saying God's already given it and you got to get it, now, that's where when we say even with healing and everything else, we receive it. Now, I can stand and praise the Lord. I receive all that you've given me and I take it in Jesus' name. If I walk out and say, oh, I don't feel like doing it, I might as well water that prayer up and throw it in the trash. It's not easy being a man sometimes. It's not easy being a woman. Can you imagine having to be the wife of a man that comes to church but don't want to do, you know, what God says that needs to be done? Oh, I'll let you handle it. You do it. Sometimes, man, you got to bite the bullet. If you don't think you've got the right answer or decision, you can always go to the Lord. If you mess up, you can always go to the Lord. Say, okay, Lord, I messed up. Help me to do what's right. Our pastor has to do the same thing leading this congregation. We are his spiritual children. As of right now, without taking a head count, I see at least 15 or 20 of us. Whew, Lord, help him. I love my kids, but I don't want 15, 20 more. I don't know if I can handle that. Lord, give me the grace to handle the four I got. Therefore, I'm not your pastor. Brother Scotty is. I don't know if I could even serve in that role. The last thing I want to point out to you, man, God will not give you anything that you cannot handle. What I mean by that, God will give you all that you can ask for. It says so in His Bible, according to His will and purpose. God's not going to give you the things He's lined up for you, He's already provided, because if you can't handle it, just like the children of Israel, before they went into the wilderness, they sent the spies out, right? There were only two that came back, stayed in the will of God, said, we can take this. Just like God said, this is His provision. You're going to have vineyards you didn't plant. You're going to have houses you didn't build. You're going to have wells you didn't dig. He's going to let all the sinners set that up, and you guys are going to go in and take it. I'm going to paraphrase. So they sent spies in there and come back, 12 spies, maybe, I think it was 12, whatever the number. So a lot of them said, oh, we can't, man. They're too big. They're going to crush us to them. So, no, the Lord said we can do it. We're going to do it. Now, God's not going to give you something until you're ready to handle it. What happened after that? God said, I said you could go. You're not going. Therefore, the ones that don't believe, I'm going to paraphrase again, are going to wander around in the wilderness till you all die out. Then I'm going to let the ones that will believe go in and take it. In Joshua chapter 1, the first thing He says to Joshua is, thy servant Moses is dead. Moses was a symbol of leading the children out of Egypt towards the promised land. They disobeyed, limited the Holy One of Israel, did not have faith, except for two, Joshua and Caleb. They all died out. Joshua and Caleb now lived to see this. He told Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. What that sentence there is symbol of, that is behind you. Moses is dead. I understand you do your grieving, and you go forward and lead my people into the promised land like you had the faith back before the wilderness. When what God has in store for us, sometimes, if not all the time, we may have to go through a wilderness. And a wilderness is nothing more than to show God that you mean what you say you mean. It could be a trial, could be temptations. Because God's not going to give you something like brother, He's not going to give Brother Scotty a church to pastor if he can't handle it. If he has not, He's already provided everything our pastor needs. Our pastor, I'm sure, has accessed it and still does every day. He didn't give it to me. I guess he knows I can't handle it. And I'm not saying bad about that. I'm just not set up and built that way. But every man, when you say, I'm going to be, your family needs to hear you say, like it says in Joshua 24, would you put that up there, Travis, Joshua 24, 14 and 15? Joshua is talking to the people after they've already went in and they've captured and got the promised land, and they start acting, I'm going to use a country phrase, start acting a fool. And Joshua tells them, he says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, meaning before Abraham's time and Noah's time, or Abraham's time, I'm sorry, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Now he's telling them right there, just like he said in Joshua chapter 1, my servant Moses is dead. All of that's behind you, put it behind you and start walking forward. And Joshua's telling them, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a very famous scripture. We've got a plaque of it in our house. That, as a matter of fact, one of the houses we rented one time was in there, and I asked people about it, and they said I could have it. So I've taken it with me. I know it's in my Bible, but I see it every once in a while, and it kind of helps remind me. What Joshua was saying here is, don't go back and think about what your fathers did. Don't serve what they served. God has made a covenant with you. He has provided for you. And from this day forward, serve the Lord. That's what Joshua is telling them. God is telling them through Joshua. Because when you start backing up, remember what I said about choices. Even anywhere in life you want to put it, if you start backing up or losing ground in our spiritual world speaking, or even in the natural world, when you start having bad results, it's probably because of bad position, decisions. Whenever you see you're having bad results with a problem or something, it could be anything from doing mechanic work to building something or a thing in life. If you will look back and see, something somewhere went wrong. It might have been because of your decision. It might have been because of a decision you did not make. But in our spiritual world, it boils down to those two things. Either the decision you made, we made as men, or a decision we did not make as men. I want my family to know, they do know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God is my leader. God is my creator. He is so much that I can't think of a human word to put him in the exalted position that he is besides creator. He is God, my God. He is God, my Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ paid a high price for me to have this. I don't want to mess it up. Lord knows I have sometimes. But I know what I have inside me. And if it was possible for me to put that inside my boys of my own doing, I would do it. And the only way, and I can, but the only way I can is to do this. Seek God. Read His Word. Pray. Fast. And I'm going to be the first one to tell you, I ain't crazy about fasting at all. I don't necessarily eat a whole lot, but when I want to eat, I want to eat. And that's the reason I'm not a good cook. I don't even have the patience to do much more than make oatmeal. I can cook a little bit. I'm not like some guys. There's nothing wrong with guys cooking. You know, I see Travis sometimes posting stuff. He's made this real good-looking stuff for supper. Man, it would all probably not be worth a flip because I can't cook long enough for it to get done. I'm all the time, I won't take spaghetti out before it's done. I won't take this out. I'll ask April, is that done yet? No, you got to leave it a while. I want to eat. Therefore, I'm not a good cook. But when it comes to being a man and a husband and a father, I can't back away from that like I can cooking. I've got to have patience. I've got to read God's Word. I've got to find out where faith starts, which is when the will of God is in my life. That's what keeps me strong. And I'm not the strongest person in the world. And I got to fast some. And then I got to put all that together. Okay, Lord, now what? I've even went and asked the Lord, Lord, give me a sign. The last time I did that, you know what the Lord told me? That scripture, and I can't tell you where it's at, but I've read it, where Jesus says, tells the Pharisees, oh, you something, I can't remember the words, generation, always seeking a sign. And then he told me what I said in the men's meeting about a month ago. The apostle Thomas, doubting Thomas, you know where that came from? Because he would not believe Jesus was risen from the dead until he touched his wounds and seen him in person. And I'm thinking, well, okay, Lord, what do I do now? When I did that, and my heart clicked open with those words, and I made that decision, it took a little while, but I saw. Things started happening. The Holy Spirit started speaking to me, and I know it. One of the best revelations I've ever had in my life, because I used to wonder about it, whenever Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they will obey. I had a revelation that ain't been that long ago, about 4 or 5 years ago. I've always did what I thought I could, striving to do God's will. Then when I broke down and I said, Lord, I guess, you know, the best way to describe it, I quit trying to do me and let the Lord help me, lead me. When I got my heart in that position, I started hearing His voice. I started hearing the leadership of the Holy Spirit in my life. And whenever I feel like there's some kind of doubt and I don't feel it now, the first thing I do is pray. Then I get in God's Word and I start reading. Because lots of times, my answer has come through reading a scripture that I didn't even realize was there. And then it hit me one day. I was reading and I'm thinking, I had a particular problem to ask the Lord, and I found it in the Word. And I said, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. And I kept reading them, and just a little ways further, and I read, and my sheep will hear my voice, and they will know it. Thank you, Lord. I got revelation at that instant. One of the best revelations I've ever had. Because I used to think, how do I know it's God's voice? You know, how do I know it's Him leading me? I know now. I feel it. I hear it. I see it. I know. In here. I don't know how to describe it to any other person, but when you know, you know. There's a saying going around, I don't even like to use that anymore. It says, if you know, you know, and you'll post something on what I don't know. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit speaking and hearing God's voice, man, that needs to be the number one thing in our lives. Because I want my family to know that I want to live as a kingdom man. What does that mean? It's simply I want to live for the Lord Jesus Christ and obey God. When I do that and lead my family, we go nowhere but forward. When it looks like we're slowing down or spinning our wheels, then I got to dig in a little harder. Because Satan, like I said, he's not going to come at you and say, hey, I want you to serve me, and you know, and blah, blah, blah. And you'll see that instantly if you ever think you hear it as a lie. Because Satan's going to disguise everything and fool you, and then you have to repent if you went too far and get back on track with the Lord. And I'm speaking that from experience. Well, I'm out of time. That's all the words that I feel like the Lord's told me to say this morning. That's all I wanted to say. I thank y'all for listening to me. Anybody got anything they'd like to add or say or anything?